As you heard Danae allude to, we are in the midst of what's called the Because We Care initiative. This is a two-year initiative where we're helping our congregation live into its mission of loving our community, inviting all to discover life in Christ. And as we respond to the grace of God, the goodness of God, we are going to be able to do some cool things, not only in this congregation, but for the community around us. And one of those wonderful things that we are stewarding right now because of the foresight and the generosity of generations prior to us in this congregation is the Boone United Trail. And I'm going to let you watch a video where our own Scott St. Clair is going to talk a little bit about that. Listen and see how what you're doing is going to make a difference.
My name is Scott St. Clair. Our family's been coming to Boone United Methodist Church since 2011. So I've been involved in multiple things through the years. I've been involved with the building of the Boone United Trail, which was really meaningful for me and something I get out and use a lot. I've been involved in our Sunday school class, the Journey class, and I've been fortunate enough to serve on multiple visioning groups as we've been thinking about the mission of the church, the vision of the church, and where we're headed as we move into the future. I see giving my resources to the church as a way to invest in the church's ability to be God's image here in our community, the ability of our church to reflect God to those around us. And I think to the extent that our presence of our building and our outdoor spaces do reflect God to the community around us, it really does help us live into our mission and vision of loving our community, inviting all to discover life in Christ. This is currently our entrance and welcome, and we can provide so much more to help people know that this trail is here and to invite and welcome them onto our campus. One of the things I get really excited about is thinking about our back lot, our meadow behind the church is how do we open up and expand the meadow to be used by as many people as possible across the entire age spectrum of our church, across the entire age spectrum of the community, and people's interest level, so that people who may not be interested in hiking all the way up to Howard Knob would be able to come out and use our backyard. So one of the things that we're excited about doing is creating a walking path that would go around the entire meadow, that would be flat, that would be accessible, that would be easy to walk on. And that may be all that people want to come and use at our church, but it would still be a great way to minister to people. I think part of opening up the meadow for more people to use and utilize this space is also thinking about how do we expand and enhance the firewood ministry and what's already been happening in our back lot. And so part of the hope and the dream is thinking about how can we actually make the firewood ministry more efficient, give it more space. Giving is a chance to reflect back to God what He's already given to us.
Thank you, Scott. Your Academy Award will be delivered to you directly. Great job. Y'all, there's no other church in America in our research that has that behind us. You know, Scott did a lot of research, looked around, and we're the only congregation that we know of in the United States. In fact, you found one in Germany, isn't that right, Scott, that has something like this. What a resource that has been handed down to this generation of believers here at Boone United Methodist Church. And how are we going to enhance that so that people that at first say, you invite them to Boone United Methodist, well, I don't know about going to church, even a cool spot like this where you get to hear a great preacher most every Sunday. I said, but you can, they may not come and step in church, but they might say, hey, I'll go on a hike with you. I'll go walk in that meadow that's going to be enhanced if they don't want to walk the whole 2 miles up and down the mountain. And conversations about who made this meadow, who created this mountain, who formed the stream that's back there. That can happen, and who knows, the conversation about bringing someone to Christ can happen back there. So that's why we're doing all this, because we care for our community. And no other church has that. And so we're looking at how we can enhance that to help utilize it even more for the glory of God and to bring people to Jesus Christ. So thank you, Scott. And thank you all who made the Boone United Trail happen. Our forebears in faith that relocated us here, the people who created the trail. And we're now stewards of that gift, as we're going to talk about. So others can be blessed through us. Before I open up the scriptures for us, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we're grateful that you have graced us so richly with the gift of life, the gift of being here at this time, of course, the gift of Jesus Christ. May as we hear the scriptures proclaimed and lived out, Lord, that we might hear some message that would touch our hearts to send us forth from here to joyfully live for you. All this we ask in and through Jesus. Amen. Let us stand now, if you're able, to hear the word of the Lord as found in the book of 1 Peter. From 1 Peter 4, the fourth chapter, starting with verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do it as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do it with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him be honor and glory, power forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The actress of the 40s and 50s, Eleanor Powell, is credited with this saying that you may have heard somewhere, seen it on Pinterest or something like that. It says, what we are is God's gift to us. What we become is our gift back to God. Any of y'all heard that? Some of y'all probably have. I like that phrase because it kind of relates to what Peter is talking about here to the churches that he's writing to. During the middle part of the first century. He uses a phrase that we're going to unpack. I like this phrase. It's called stewards of grace. Stewards of grace. And as you heard Danae talk about the Generosity Initiative Journal, if you have your journals with you or you want to get one, turn on page 23 of that journal is a place where you can take notes or do a grocery list, or if you're like I was when a kid on the bulletin, I drew pictures of birds and airplanes. But, you know, I encourage you to take notes with this so that you can reflect more upon what we're talking about, being stewards of God's grace. Stewards of grace. I love that term. I love that term. Eleanor Powell's phrase of what we are is God's gift to us. What we become is our gift back to God and our gift back to the world. Steward isn't a word that you use all the time. You don't say, oh, come here, steward, or Mr. Steward, will you come help me? We haven't used the word steward in a long time. You might, if you've been on a ship, there might be the kitchen steward or something like that, or the steward of the various levels on the ship that you're at. But we don't use that word too much. It's not something that we're too familiar with, is it? Sometimes you'll read in some translations of the Bible, when we look at the word steward, the word manager is substituted there, like a manager of an account or a manager of a portfolio that someone may have. But that term is not strong enough. For steward in the biblical times was someone that managed totally the affairs of somebody else. Oftentimes this person was a servant, or more appropriately, the word is slave. Of the household, and this particular servant, this particular slave, was given the responsibility to take care and manage or steward all the affairs of the owner of the household. And not only the affairs of the household, but he was the one that took care of the needs of all the other servants and all the other people in the household. This person had great responsibility because they were stewarding, they were taking care of, they were managing the affairs of somebody else. It wasn't theirs, you see. They were caring for something that had been entrusted to them. And I would argue that we were made from the very beginning as stewards. Before we were branded as sinners, we were made and called stewards. If you look at the very first chapter of Genesis, where there near the end of that chapter, after God has made humans in our image, the word is plural there. There's a Trinitarian notion, at least in our Christian understanding of things, that God had made humanity, both male and female, in God's image. And then we have this phrase, take dominion over the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the creatures of the land. Take dominion over those things. Now, sometimes we in our human race have taken that word dominion and make it like that we're to rule over. We can do whatever we want. Or we've changed the word from dominion to dominate, kind of like a certain team dominated the Auburn Tigers last night. And that beat them down, you know, abused them. Yeah, I know, 48 to 18, yes, that was a beatdown. Okay. That's what we think about, that we get to dominate over. We get to do whatever we want with that. But if, and the scripture says this, you and I, we humans, are created in the image of God, then we are to have dominion over that which we entrusted, the same way that God rules over us. And how does God rule? With care, compassion, self-giving love. From the very beginning, we are called to be stewards, you see, of that which has been entrusted to us, like God has and does rule over us. Next chapter over. Genesis chapter 2. Man's place there in the garden. And the command to him is this: till the ground. Care for the garden. Stewardship, you see, of that which has been entrusted to him. He is to care for it and tend to it and nurture it on behalf of the one who placed him in the garden, God. Not to dominate it, not to rule over it, but to tend to it and nurture it and care for it. For that's what stewardship is. It is to watch over and care for and to ensure the well-being of all. Not something we own or dominate or rule. We care for those around us, and we do it for the one who made us and created us. This God who placed us into this beautiful world. We're not owners of anything. We're stewards. Mere stewards entrusted with, well, from the very beginning, with the care of this planet. And we know in a different sermon we have a lot to repent of, don't we? Jesus talks about stewards. He talks about stewards and stewardship. He tells a wonderful parable in Luke's gospel, and one that's, you know, kind of humorous, is that this man is a steward of the household, and the master decides to audit the books. And he finds that this steward has been dishonest in his management of the master's household. And so he's going to get rid of this servant. He's going to throw him out of the house. And the guy says to himself, I can't go and dig. I'm just too weak to do that, and I'm too proud to beg. So what he does before he is fired, he goes to all of his master's debtors, all the people that owe the master money. And he says, how much do you owe the master? And the guy said, well, I owe 100 jugs of oil. Let's alter that bill. You only owe 50 now. How much wheat do you owe? He said, I owe 100 measures of wheat. Well, cut that bill in half. And the master finds out about it and commends this fellow for his shrewdness. And then Jesus, right after that, says this: blessed are those who take care and handle the wealth of this world and the things of this world well, because if you can't handle that wealth, then how well will you handle the real treasures, which is our salvation, which is the gifts that God has given to us? And then he says this, you can't serve money and God. Can't serve money and God. You're going to love one and hate the other, hate one and love the other. Because, you see, we're not lovers of money, owners of money. We're stewards of it. And how we handle it matters to God. There's one that didn't use the word steward, but I would say this is a story of that Jesus tells that we often call the parable of the talents, but I'd call it the parable of the three stewards because it talks about stewardship. You might remember the parable from Matthew 25. Here's this master, Jesus says, that says, I'm about to go on a journey, and you guys have got to steward this stuff in my household. To one, he gives five talents. To one, he gives two talents. To one, he gives one. And he goes off on a journey to the far country, and he says, y'all manage what I have entrusted to you. Now, there's some that estimate that a talent in our parlance of money is worth about $400,000. So one guy got $2 million to manage, one guy got $800,000 to manage, one guy got $400,000 to manage. And there they go. The first guy, he begins to take and borrow and lend and take risk with the master's wealth that is entrusted to him. The second guy, the one that has two, does the very same thing. And when the master finally returns, they run up eagerly to him and say, Master, Master, you gave me five talents to manage, and look, here's five talents more. And the other one says, hey, you gave me two, and I took some risk, and I invested, and I did some trading, and here's two more for you. And we hear the words from the master who's returned home to these stewards. What does he say? You probably know the words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. Be faithful over much. Enter to the joy of your master. But to that one that just had one, he only thought about himself. He was fearful and he buried what was given to him. And, well, this one who was fearful, only thought of himself, well, he sent out and punished. Because, well, all he thought about was himself. He wasn't willing to risk on the sake of his master. See, Jesus talks about how we handle the grace that has been given to us. He talks about being stewards of grace, realizing that this isn't our own. This is something given to us by God. Well, of course, whenever I'm at Crossroads, I'm here with Ben Fitzgerald. I know I've got to give my Lord of the Rings reference. So here you go, Ben. Any of y'all familiar with the Lord of the Rings knows that for 25 generations, the kingdom of Gondor was headed not by a king, but by a steward. Originally, the stewards were on the council with the king, but when King Eärendil died and left no heir, the stewards began to rule. And eventually, over time, during this 25 generations, they began to pass on the stewardship, not by someone who is elected, but to their heir. But they were waiting for the king to return. So they said they sat on, not on a throne, but on a black chair underneath the throne, showing that we steward this. We don't rule it. But if you've watched the movie The Lord of the Rings, the steward at the time, Denethor, makes it sound like, well, I've heard about someone coming back, this Aragorn, but he's just a rider from the north, a ranger from the north. And this attitude is echoed when his son Boromir says this, Gondor has no king. Gondor needs no king. And how's that in so many of our lives, in the lives of people in our society? This is all mine. This is mine. My life is mine. My wealth is mine. My time is mine. I don't have anybody ruling over me. I have no king. It's just about me. They're kind of the same in the time of Peter. Peter, I was writing to a group of Christians who may not have been actively persecuted, but they were feeling ostracized by the community around them. The people around them were beginning to shun them and say to them, you know, you all act weirdly. You all care for one another. You love for one another. You do things differently than us, and we have no part of who you are. And Peter reminds them in the verses that I just read to you that we live life differently. This isn't our own lives. We have been bought with a price. And we are stewards of the manifold, meaning the many graces that God pours into our lives. The many graces that God gives to us. The many gifts that we receive from God. And what are these graces? They're manifold. That means they're many. And the very first grace that we have received is the gift of ourselves. We are all gifts given to the world by God. You are a gift from God. You are a gift from God. You are a gift from God. Turn to your neighbor and tell that person you are a gift from God. If you're looking at online and you got someone sitting next to you, tell them you're a gift from God. If you're there alone, email, text them, hey, do something radical. Grab a phone and call them up. And can you imagine the conversation starting this way? Hey, Fred, you're a gift from God. I mean, you are. You are a gift from God, uniquely made by God as a blessing for the world. You are. There's no one in the universe that has been created like you. Your thumbprint, every fingerprint of yours is unique. It's special. And the trouble is in our world and throughout society that people try to mold us into some other image than the image that God has created us to be a unique blessing to this world. To this world. And to give glory to God of who we are. Trouble is, we forget our uniqueness. We forget that we're a gift. We forget that we have something special to offer. There's an old Hasidic tale. That's a form of Judaism that experiences life exuberantly. If you want to read about those writings, look at the guy named the Baal Shem Tov, but I won't get too far into that. Hasidic Judaism is a lived-out Judaism, a joyful Judaism. And in one of the tales, there was a rabbi named Zusa who begins to share with his congregation that he says, you know, when I die, the Lord is not going to ask me, well, Zusa, why were you not like more like Moses? And I can answer him, says, well, I'm not like Moses because I'm not a great prophet. And he's not going to ask me, Zusa, why were you not more like Jeremiah? And I can answer that. I can answer that, says, because I'm not a great writer like Jeremiah. And then he says, why weren't you like the rabbi Alatov? And he says, I can't be like Alatov. I'm not a great scholar and a great writer. But then when the Lord asked me, why were you not more like Zusa? I have nothing to say. Friends, we are uniquely created in the image of God, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us is a gift, and part of our journey is to discover our unique giftedness, this grace that has been poured into us. And as we in the Christian tradition talk about the spiritual gifts that are poured into us as we become followers of Jesus Christ. And we are all gifted. We all have a light to shine into the world that's unique and beautiful. I love the way Jesus puts it in Matthew 5:16, my favorite verse in all the Bible. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven, just like Peter's talking about. Say this to yourself. I am a gift of God. Say it. I am a gift from God. Wow. You are. That's a manifold grace that you have to offer to the world. And as Peter talks about in service and in speaking, because we've received the ultimate grace given to us in Jesus Christ, this unabashed acceptance by God in Christ, this gift that we've been given of forgiveness, of new life, of abundant life, we've been given. And we are called to speak in his name and to serve in his name so that God's name is glorified. And there may be someone in the sound of my voice right here, someone watching online, someone within this room says, nah, you know, I'm worn out. I'm old. I've been around a long time. I don't have anything yet to offer. I don't have anything to give. You know, my best days are behind me. You know, I'm not the person I used to be. I don't have anything to offer. How am I, at this stage in my life, a gift? This past week, I got together with my siblings up in around Virginia Beach to see my oldest brother, who's not doing too well. And, you know, I hesitate to say this, but when I was going over this message this morning, said, what better venue to share a prayer concern than in the church? And so, pray for my brother, Charlie. He is not doing well. He's not that old, really, in the grand scheme of things, and he can barely walk. He's had several TIAs and had COVID, and it's just declining greatly. So we were up there to encourage him. But of course, when you gather with your family, you start telling family stories. And that I was reminded of a story about my brother's namesake, our dad. His name is also Charlie, and he had a long bout with bad health, and my mother was almost killing herself caring for my dad. So we made the tough decision finally. It was a hard decision. We put him in a nursing home. And in the nursing home that he was in, he shared a room with somebody who he happened to be acquainted with. And this man was in the military with my dad and was a doctor. And this man was not a believer. But he, one day, they're laying in their beds. They're both pretty much bedridden. The man said, Charlie, is there really anything beyond this life? He was saying this to my dad. And my dad said, oh, I know there is. I believe this with all of my being. And then the man said, gosh, I wish I'd believed that. And my dad, barely able to walk, got out of the bed, went and knelt by this guy's bed, and they prayed together. And that man, at that very moment, began to believe. He prayed to become a follower of Christ, to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. And the very next day, that man went to be with his newly discovered Savior and Lord. My dad spoke the word. He wasn't too old. You're never too old. You're never too old. Never too old, no matter what shape you're in. And some are saying, you know, that bet there's some college students here. There's some that may be a little younger than that. Well, you know, I haven't hit my stride yet. I don't know if I can do too much. You know, what are people going to listen to me? Well, at the university that got whipped by LSU last night, there's a Wesley Foundation. And that Wesley Foundation still does take mission trips. And one year they went to Tanzania, and there's a fellow named Davis Rhodes that went to Tanzania. And he got so mesmerized and felt so called and compelled by the work going on there that Davis, after college, moved to Tanzania and began a community there of young people, folks in their early 20s, both American and Tanzanian. And they live together in the city of Uwarwe through what's called Quad W. And your faithful stewardship enables Davis Rhodes to help establish 38 churches in Tanzania. You're not too young. You're not too young, friends, to be a gift given by God to bless the world. Just like Davis Rhodes, who inspires me to be more faithful. Y'all, your gift, given with the manifold mercies of God in you, the manifold grace of God in you, to bless the world, to make a difference. Y'all, you're stewards of a gift of who you are. And one of the things that we do as stewards of the gift of who we are, knowing that God has placed within each of us in various measures some material blessings, some things that, well, we think we've earned by our hard work, the sweat on our brow, but really, who gave you the ability to do this, to make things, to think of things, to write things, to go places? Did you all come up with that? Ben, you're a pretty smart guy. Could you do that? No. We, as smart as we think we are, have still not developed anything that is as brilliant and beautiful as we are humans. And we are to take whatever we have been given and use it to the glory of God and the good of others. In your journal, on page 23, I believe it is, there's some questions. How are you being called to steward the gift of who you are? How are you being called to steward those things that you have been given? Of course, we see in the church in Corinth, Paul writes to them, let me share with you the exciting grace that these Macedonian Christians have. Though that they are greatly troubled with tribulation, they are overwhelming with joy, even though they're in extreme poverty. They excel in giving because they're so moved by the cause of Jesus Christ. And he says to Corinthian Christians, looking at the poverty of the Macedonian Christians, I want you to excel in that grace and that generosity too. And I imagine if the Apostle Paul was here today, he'd say this. He'd say to us, I want you all to sell and be generous. The stewardship of the gift of, and the grace of who you are and the gift of these gifts that you've been given, so that things like you heard Scott St. Clair talk about can help draw people to Jesus Christ, and we can enhance that. And though I am no Apostle Paul, no way even close to him, but I know one of the things that Paul did was go from church to church, and he could tell about the great ministries happening at one church and share with another and with another. And, one of the cool things about being a tenor United Methodist preacher is I've been to churches that have been doing some cool things. And some of y'all at other places have heard me talk about this little church in Tallahassee, Alabama, and how they called by God to raise money to restore their facility, become more of a magnet of drawing people to Christ and being more of a place where they can welcome folks. Well, that mill town, millwrights, school teachers, retirees would say to you who are here at Boone, North Carolina, if we can do it, y'all can too. Be manifold stewards of the grace given to you to bless the world and give glory to God in Jesus Christ. And they would say to us, be generous with what God has given to you. As you look through that journal, you'll see how we are being called to look at things. Do I really need to have that Lottie? What type of car do I really need to drive? What are some of the things that I have that I can be better stewards so that people know about the grace of God through what I have been given? Prayerfully look at those things and realize that, wealth is an illusion. I don't know if y'all read the paper or whatever you read on something online, saw on the news, a fellow named Charles Feeney died just a little while ago. Any of y'all heard of Charles? Anybody? I doubt it. But Charles Feeney was a billionaire. He started businesses that opened duty-free shops all over the world, and he made loads of money. But Charles Feeney grew up in an immigrant Irish Catholic home in New Jersey, and he began to see as he was going to all these black tie dinners and having yachts and big homes and flying in expensive jets, that, do I really need all this stuff? And he began to realize that all this stuff really didn't mean much to him, and that the people that he really cared about, they didn't need these things. And so Charles Feeney made a drastic decision. He sold all the cars and the yachts and the boats. He began to fly coach. And he began to get his clothes off the rack at places that, well, most of us usually shop at, like Old Navy. And Charles Feeney, who tried to anonymously donate all his money, though he got found out, gave away over $8 billion. $8 billion. And because of the stewardship of who he was, he got involved in the peace process of his parents' native land in Ireland and helped negotiate that peace that's now there between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, because he saw that all this wealth was a vapor, an illusion. And he became a steward of that which God had enabled him to give and to obtain so he could give. The question we have to ask ourselves as we look at how we steward the grace of our lives and that which we have, well, it's all a gift given to us by God. The question I leave you with is, are we giving back the best gift of ourselves and what we have so that God is glorified in Jesus Christ? Is it? You are a gift. Been given many gifts. Use it and steward it for the benefit of others and the glory of our God in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I'm seeing before me the gifts that you have given to the world and each individual sitting here, each person that is tuning in online. God, help us to claim the fact that, again, that we're a gift. We're uniquely made in your image to bless the world, to be a gift of the grace that each and every one of us is. And Father, we know that we're uniquely talented, uniquely blessed, unique to be able to change the world in some way for you. And we know that involves somehow, some way, stewarding the resources that are yours, really, not ours, so that, God, your word is made known through the ministries of this wonderful congregation. Thank you for each person here. I'm graced by their presence. I'm gifted by them. May we go from here living faithfully, becoming the gift that you have called us all to be to this world. All this we ask in and through Jesus, the ultimate gift to us. Amen. Let us stand and praise this one who came so that we might know how much we are.